This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to another In Conversation With. My guest today is no stranger to the world of finance, having held previous roles at M&G, Federated Hermes, Man Group and BlackRock. Anyone who's met him is instantly charmed by his warmth, his wit, and the occasional lure of edible treats displayed neatly outside his office. At LGIM, he holds the title of Chief of Staff, a role he's held for over 5 years. He is, to the cognoscenti, Rodri Mason, and I'm delighted to say joins me now to give us an insight into both his professional life and a sneak peek into his personal interests. Rodri, welcome to LGIM Talks.
Frances, thank you. It's great to be here.
No, it's great to have you on, and thank you so much. I know how busy you are. Now, should we just wind the clock back a little bit? And not that I've seen your CV, of course, but I have seen your LinkedIn profile. And you've worked for a few fair blue chip names here in the Square Mile. Maybe you could give us an idea of one highlight and one low light in your Citi career so far.
Yeah, well, I suppose, I mean, just to start at the start, I graduated in 1997 and didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I became a management consultant. I went into strategy consulting with what was then called Anderson Consulting, and then luckily managed to get roles in asset management. And I've been there ever since. And I suppose a highlight for me has been the opportunity at LGIM to work with and help build some really great teams. So I've been involved in the investment teams. I've been involved in some of the operating teams. Latterly, I've been involved in with the marketing team, with yourselves, mm-hmm. And the corporate strategy team. And it's been the high point of my career has been having had the opportunity to do that with people, working in a culture where people, you know, are genuinely trying to do what's right when they come to work every day, wanting to perform well, and having the chance to work with those people and build some great teams.
And what about the grisly bits? What was your low point?
Oh, the low point. There was a bit of a sticky patch. I was contracting for a while. I was a freelance, and that was great in the pre-GFC glory days. But I did have a contract that ran out in December 2007. You know, subprime was sort of gathering steam at that point. And I remember not working again until March 2008, which doesn't sound like a big gap, actually, now I say it. But at the time, it was real cold calling,
the
shoe leather.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was properly looking for work.
Yeah.
And I'm forever grateful to the guys at Barclays Global Investors, or now BlackRock, who bought BGI, for giving me that lifeline. The 12th of March 2008, it stands out in the memory, you know.
It's emblazoned on your forehead.
So that was a sticky patch.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. Well, look, you mentioned LGIM, and your title, of course, at LGIM is Chief of Staff. Now, when I think of that, I have to say I have visions of someone sitting in the White House taking orders from the US president. I'm sure that's not wholly what you do. Tell us what you do in that role, Rodri.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen The West Wing, haven't they? And they think of Leo.
I wish
I was Leo. No. So my role's got probably three legs to it. The first and the most important part is to help Michelle, our CEO, in her role. So she's got a massive role, both internally within LGIM and L&G, but also in the wider industry. You know, she's a very senior leader in the industry. And so we have a small team of us that is basically Team Michelle, you know, helping with speeches, helping write her slides, preparing her for meetings, briefings, that sort of thing, deputising for her if she can't be at meetings herself. So that's the first component. The second piece is the leadership piece of the role, where I get to lead the corporate strategy, product development and marketing teams of LGIM. So that's about 150 of us globally, and that's a super fun part of the role. We've got, you know, I'm supported by a fantastic heads of corporate strategy, marketing and product in Natasha, Andy and Claire respectively. And then finally, I'm the CEO of our UK authorised corporate director, so what we call Legal and General Unit Trust Managers Limited. And that role, so that's the business that that supports our IFA community and our wealth community in the UK, selling unit trusts and OEICs and that sort of thing. It's got about £60 billion under management. And my role there as the CEO of the ACD is to represent the interests of customers around the table, and make sure that their interests are obviously balanced with the commercial interests of LGIM and L&G as a whole. And that's been a super fun role. So I took that on in late 2021. That's the sort of the newest part of my job, if you like. And that role gets more prevalent and more important every year because the FCA has introduced their assessment of value regulations. Consumer Duty has just come in, so act as the Consumer Duty champion for that part of the business as well. And so that's becoming an increasingly important part of the role. And overall, you know, it's a great job. I'm very lucky to be doing it.
It's a great job, but I wonder how you sleep at night with all that workload. I mean, it puts mine into the shade, I have to say. But, you know, you've mentioned a lot of moving parts there, Rodri. What would you say unites the whole of the department? Is it culture? Is it something else?
I suppose it's a very varied remit. I suppose the two things that glue us all together are the common thread across it all. Firstly, we're here to deliver good customer outcomes. So we're here to make sure that our investors get access to the best products, and that's communicated in the best way that we can, supporting our distribution and investment teams in doing that. And secondly, we are trying to help drive and support the commercial growth of LGIM. You know, we want to make sure that the product range we have out there and the way we communicate that to the world is aligned with our corporate strategy, is aligned with what investors need, and ultimately helps create, you know, value for shareholders as well as for customers. We had a couple of really good examples last year where it all came together. It doesn't always come together, but, you know, last year we had a couple of good examples. There was one long-standing strategy that we did a bit of a rebrand and a repositioning on in the market, and that involved lots of people across the business as a whole and also within the chief of staff team working together to do that. And that's been really successful. We've seen really good, you know, really good commercial metrics and customer satisfaction metrics off the back of that. And so it's gratifying when it works.
Yeah. So it's driving towards that common goal, isn't it? It's just pulling all in the same direction. I have to say, did you always aspire to one day being a chief of staff? I mean, when you were a little boy, did you say, oh, I really want to be that?
When I was a really little boy, I wanted to be a dustbin man.
There's a waste
operative, as you'd call it now. But yeah, my mum says my first word, spoken word, was the word mess, which those that know me in the office hasn't changed much in the intervening 47 years. But yeah, that was my dream.
It's your recycling credentials, isn't it?
Yeah, be a dustman. And then as a teenager, I wanted to be a lawyer. And I think I've seen one too many legal dramas. And I did a couple of work experiences, actually. And that made me realise that wasn't for me. And then I just fell into a business career. And business is just so fun. You know, you get to do so much. It's so creative. And you get to learn and grow in so many different ways. And so chief of staff is an unusual title, but it's a really fun and, you know, varied remit. And I'm, you know, very happy in the role.
And never a dull moment.
No.
Now, you did mention strategy earlier when one of those three strands where you mentioned, I think, to one of your aims was, or one of your objectives is to develop the corporate strategy. So can you give us a flavour of what LGIM's corporate strategy actually is?
So very early in Michelle's time with us, when she joined, she set out a three-pillar strategy for LGIM. And the three pillars of the strategy are to modernise, diversify, and internationalise the firm. And any good LGIM person worth their salt on this podcast should be able to tell you about modernise, diversify, and internationalise. Modernise is what it says on the tin. We're the 11th largest asset manager globally, and we need to ensure we've got an operating platform that is commensurate with that size and scale. And there's lots of good work going on there to make sure that that's the case. Diversify is about doing more with what we already have. So a couple of examples here. We've got a fantastic private credit team under the leadership of Nick Bamber. And historically, they have managed money for the internal client, for Legal & General, who own us. But in recent years, we've been able to also externalise them and take them out into the third-party market to create private credit solutions for third-party clients, co-invested alongside our owner. And so that's been a fantastic example of, you know, doing more with something we already have. Another example is our index business. You know, we've got a long-standing very strong index business, which historically has been very UK-centric in who it supports. And since we acquired the Canvas business in 2018, we've been able to plug that index manufacturing capability into ETFs. So we can now make ETFs, and that opens up a whole world of distribution opportunities and allows us to help customers all over the world. You know, we're now into the German IFA market, and we're now into, you know, the Asian private wealth market, via the ETF wrapper. But again, that's using the same investment team that we've always had. So that's diversified.
So you're leveraging off existing resources and going into new areas.
Exactly. Okay. That's diversified. Mm-hmm. Doing more with what we already have. Mm-hmm. And then finally, internationalize, it kind of is what it says on the tin. We've been number one in the UK for a long time, both in UKDB and UKDC, and we're usually in the top three for UK wholesale. But increasingly, we are internationalising, and we've got a very strong franchise out in Chicago under our Legal and General America brand that has over $200 billion out there now. We've got over 100 billion euros in Europe. Asia, we've got offices now in Hong Kong and Singapore and Tokyo. And so it's really happening. And so, 30% plus now of our assets are kind of ex-UK managed. And that's a trend that we think will keep going. We expect by the end of the decade to be possibly more like 50-50 UK rest of world.
That's a big change, isn't it, for a UK-centric house?
It is. And it's a fantastic opportunity because the thing about LGIM is I really genuinely believe we've got a lot of what the world wants to invest in. If you look at the structural trends in the industry around ESG and around index and around solutions and around real assets and around how you price things and give value to customers, I really believe we are the right side of history, as it were, when it comes to those industry trends. And so there's a huge opportunity for us to go out there and show people what we have and hopefully bring more value to investors as we go.
I'm just keen to know, because that sounds very exciting, that when you have these glamorous office openings in Singapore and Switzerland, do you get to go to as chief of staff? I think you should, Roger.
Sometimes. Yeah, no, I did. I was at the Zurich launch. I was actually lucky enough to get to interview Lewis Pugh, who is the UN patron of the oceans, who, as you know, we sponsor as a house. And so I did a Q&A with Lewis, asking him about these fantastic swims that he does on LGIM's behalf. He was swimming the Hudson this year, swam the length of the Hudson from its source up in the hills right into Manhattan Bay, and it was a fantastic client event. And what was surprising was quite how many of the clients are secret ultra marathon, Ironman,
there were a lot of
closet athletes that came forward to shake Lewis's hand at the end of the night. There's a great energy when you open a new office somewhere. You get to go and meet the new team there. You get to meet their clients. There's a real sense of taking something out there and showing it to the world. Yeah, yeah. And Michelle was on LinkedIn rolling the pineapple in the Singapore office recently, which is traditional Singaporean way of opening an office, which was lovely to see.
Yeah, I don't know what fruit we would use if we opened an office here in the UK. I don't know. But look, aside from the day job, you've got a keen interest in promoting charity, which is really great. And the charity that you like to promote is Red Start. I know you're actually one of the trustees on the board there. I have to say, I don't know an awful lot about it. Maybe you could tell our listeners what it is all about.
Yeah, well, Red Start is a charity that looks to give children financial education while they're at primary school. Because, I suppose the hypothesis is that habits are formed early in general in life, and financial habits included. And our view is that if we can train children while they're at primary school in financial education, that will help their numeracy, their financial literacy, and potentially their social mobility, their chances in life as well. Mm-hmm. And so we have a new strategy that's about a year in the making now, which basically sees us partnering with schools in some of the most deprived areas of the UK. We see the children over multiple years, so that we see them from reception right through to year six.
All right.
So we're giving them training in the classroom each year. We give them virtual Red Start pounds that they can spend on little treats at the end of the term, like fidget spinners and small bits of Lego and that sort of thing. And crucially, we have signed a partnership with King's College London to do a longitudinal multi-year research study measuring the impact of this. So we're trying to figure out, our hypothesis is that this will help and change children's lives. Yes. But King's College London are here to kind of hopefully prove it for us. And the goal is that at the end of, 4 or 5 years of this, we'll have enough body of evidence that we can take it to government and say, you should put this on the national curriculum. Mm-hmm. There's real evidence here. There's hard, crunchy metrics. Yes. And so we have a wonderful CEO called Sarah Marks, and Sarah always says, you know, which Red Start's trying to be out of business by 2030 because the government will have put it on the curriculum by that point. But we'll see. We're a year in, some very encouraging early data coming out. And I should say it's an industry-wide effort. So Red Start is supported by over 30 corporate partners, and that is LNG is one of the biggest ones of those, but there's also Schroders and 91 and Man Investments and SJP. You know, there's it's a combined effort by the city to do this. Yeah. And what's wonderful is that, you know, each of those firms, their staff get to volunteer in delivering this, and I think people love using their actual skills to drive change. You know, it's fantastic to think you can apply your day job and the skills that you learn from your day job to something that's actually making a difference to kids' lives. So, yeah, I've been chair of trustees of Red Start for the last 2 years since Kate Jones, who was our first chair and did a phenomenal job. Kate Jones took her role on the PPF, and it's been fantastic to see the traction we're getting there.
Well, that sounds really worthwhile. Well, listen, wishing you all the best of luck with that venture. Anyway, finally, I suppose, given all that you've told me and everything you do, how on earth do you wind down when you leave the office at night and you turn the lights out? What's left of the evening?
Well, I'm lucky enough to have a lovely wife and three lovely kids and a lovely dog. And an understanding wife, definitely. And like everybody, we're binging box sets. So at the moment, we're watching The Traitors on BBC One, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
We're watching a lot of The Morning Show as well on Apple TV. And then at the weekends, I do this thing called Park Run, which is a free 5K run around various parks around the UK. I mean, there's like 700 parks in the UK. And I do that every weekend, religiously.
Rain or shine.
Yeah, I've done 312, I think, at the last count. My friend and I are trying to do all the park runs inside the M25 at the moment, which seemed like a good idea when we started, but there's actually 75 of them, so he'll turn up at my house at 7 a.m. on a Saturday.
Do you not ache on a Monday morning when you come?
Oh, yeah, no, I ache all weekend, yeah. Okay. And then on Tuesday nights, I go climbing with my son. My son's into bouldering, you know, indoor climbing, and so yeah. I stay on the easy walls while he hangs upside down on the big stuff.
So we keep
busy. It's fun.
That sounds great. Well, look, you obviously have a very varied career and a very varied home life, and it's been lovely to talk to you. It's great to see you as always. Thanks so much for your time today. And thank you to all our listeners for listening. Thank you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2023. Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.